Good morning. This is Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. I'm Brady Safranik. This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Step into The Prescription Shop, where they are so much more than just prescription medication. Joining me this morning, State House District 30 candidate Gail Simmons. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm great.
It's a beautiful day here in Wyoming, and at least for the primaries, the campaign trail is starting to get to an end. Talk a little bit about just kind of the campaign trail itself and how that's gone for you.
Sure. So I announced in early April, and towards the end of April, started going door to door. I have been to 3,500 homes.
Wow.
About 1,200 of them for the second time, and I have approximately 150 left. And I'm hoping to be able to get most of those done by the end of day tomorrow and maybe just go out and be out in the community this weekend and do get out the vote on Monday. But it's been really enjoyable. I love talking to people. It's why I'm engaged in a lot of community organizations. It's the people that count.
And you mentioned that you announced your bid to run back in April. What made you decide to run?
Well, I grew up in a household where being involved in the community or being a good neighbor is just expected. That and giving blood and voting. those are the three things. So I was I retired from the Navy, which I went to after I graduated from University of Wyoming, and then retired from GE. And I knew I was coming back. I've been coming back part-time. I bought my parents' house out in Wyarno of 10 or more years ago. And being retired, it was like, what do I have to give? Well, what I have to give is a pretty unique set of capabilities around process improvement. I'm an absolute civics wonk. So, and for those of you who don't want, it just means that I am interested in how government works and how to make government work better, elective processes, legislature, that kind of thing. So I felt like I had a lot to give to Wyoming, and this is one of the ways that I can. So for the last, I threw my hat in the ring probably prematurely 2 years ago, given that I wasn't retired yet. But from that, I decided to be a nonpartisan blogger from the legislature, and I have spent both of the last two sessions full-time in Cheyenne observing and also going to more than half of the interim committee. So I've really studied and learned a lot about the issues that Wyoming faces and also the people and processes and organizations that are involved in making this the great state that it is.
You talk about some of the issues that Wyoming faces. What do you believe would be the most critical or a couple of the most critical issues facing Wyoming right now?
Sure. So a lot of it has to do with kind of our independent, rural nature. The first one overall is we have to get our fiscal health back. We are so dependent on the extractive energy industries. And of course, they have the ups and downs of the energy industry market. So we've been tied to that. So when they're in a boom, we're in a boom. When they're in a bust, we're in a bust. And we need to smooth that out. I love the fact that we have such good stewards in our energy industries. I mean, Spring Creek Coal does an amazing, award-winning job of restoring the land that they've gone to. But we need to expand that and even it out. 70% of our revenues come from them. So it's a tremendous swing. I like what's happening using coal in differing ways. So carbon fibers, which would be a smoother. So we need to get away from that dependence and really understand that we're only paying for 30% of the services we have. So we need to take a look at the revenue there. But in the meantime, we need to really take a hard look at the cost of our government. While times are good, there's no incentive to really look at do we have the right priorities in our state and in county governments? Are we getting the right return that we're looking for? So I've got the expertise in that, and we've actually found, I've spoken to you before, that we found $200 to $300 million in ongoing savings from this Commission on Effectiveness in State Government. We know that there's more. We know that we can consolidate purchasing, use that as a leverage to get better price. We can relook at our organizations. One of the department heads was surprised to find out, because they're just churning away, trying to deal with 11% cuts and we need to do things, to find that he had a 7-layer organization. They've simply been reacting, and now we have a chance, especially with some easing in our economy, to say, let's do this smart. Let's do some consolidated services. Let's make sure we've got the right organization, that we're really doing the right things. And then the legislature has to do the tough job. We have to decide as a legislature, what are the top priorities? Because we can't do it all. We can either do a poor job at everything we've done in the past, or we can do an excellent job at the ones that are absolutely most critical. And that we have to do. That's the legislature working with whoever the new governor is. So that fiscally, it even rolls into the education. We have a constitutional requirement for equal opportunity for quality education. I say that that's not given just by throwing dollars at school boards and school districts. We need to take a look at where learning occurs, where education occurs, which is in the classroom. I want to separate how do we fund the classroom from how do we fund everything else. And let's make sure that we've got quality teachers, that we're providing them the support that we need, and then apply or adapt business principles like consolidating, regionalizing some of the sport issues. Keep the 48 school districts. The boards are where the community puts their say in, and the board itself doesn't cost anything. But do we really need 48 people running the district, superintendents? Do we need 48 business managers, transportation managers? I don't think so. And I really want to separate that. So fiscally, that's the biggest thing.
Talking with Gail Simmons, running for State House District 30. And, you know, Gail, a lot of people may not agree with decisions made by government, but a lot of things voters appreciate is transparency in government and knowing how you came to a decision and you know, what information you had at hand, that sort of thing. Where do you see transparency currently? And if improvements are needed, what steps could you take to do that?
So in the state government, there's three areas that more transparency is required. We've done a pretty good job of systems implementation, and we've continued to do that. The state auditor has just done another improvement to their system that provides for a standard chart of accounts. Now, anybody who's ever done anything in financial knows that the chart of accounts is the very basics, and we've just standardized that. The three areas that we need more visibility, more transparency in, is the money coming in, where is it coming from, when is it getting here, how much is it? So that's revenue that we need more. That's going to require a system. We're talking millions of transactions. We need way better transparency in our budgeting process. And I've had somebody tell me that maybe there's a half dozen people who understand it, and we just lost one of them this past year. So I am a proponent of performance-based budgeting, which means that everything that we fund, there has to be a metric tied to the outcomes from that, whether it's a service, a program. That then will allow us to determine, are we achieving that? Then we can prioritize and say, okay, this is how we do the budgeting. Does it make sense? And then the last one, and it kind of blows me away that there are these two groups that are suing the state auditor, who's one of the most has one of the highest integrity and capability, is they want to be able to open the checkbook, so so to speak, or just give us the funding. The system that they have in place isn't designed to do that. So it's like telling somebody who has a fiddle that they need to march in a drum and bugle band. It's music, but it's not designed to do that. It's probably a bad analogy. But for $435,000, almost $500,000, she has asked for the reporting system that lays on top of the transactional system. It's the same reporting system that has gotten kudos and awards in several other states that would provide that visibility we're looking for. And then finally, personally, kind of as a part of my reporting on transactions, it is my goal as a legislator to provide insight into why I vote yes, why I vote no, what is really in those bills. You know, if you vote no, like my opponent does, 44% of the time, and the average for the remaining, he and one other person, over 100 times in 2018, the total 58 of the others are less than 50. What's going on there? And so maybe some of them are valid, but let's let the voters know. Don't just say, here's how I voted. We need to have information on what you voted and why. And for 45% of the time, there's something going on there.
And Gail, speak a little bit to your experience and in qualifications that lend itself to this position.
Sure. So, I was born and raised in Sheridan. I'm a product of our outstanding education system. It continues to be outstanding. I went to the University of Wyoming and then became an officer in the Navy, where you really get to see the impact on the ground or on the decks, since I was in the Navy, of our Constitution and how it provides for the common defense. I then went to work for GE as an efficiency expert. So I really have a grounding in how to make big government work better, but basically any bureaucracy, and mind you, the state government is a bureaucracy. It just happens to be a smaller one. And how big organizations work together. My specialty was actually organizational behavior. And then how can you, by being really clear about the outcomes that you're looking for, how can you actually improve those outcomes at a significantly lower cost? And then, like I said, I'm a civics wonk. I've always been interested in how government is really a reflection of the community. And by more people being involved, we can actually do a better job and have it reflect all of the interests. You know, there's 9,000 people in a House district. Those now 9,000 people have 9,000 different experiences, interests. Everything about them is different. You can find some commonalities. You know, there's people who have children, people who are elderly, people who are retired, who have businesses, who go to church, who don't go to church, who are interested in state parks. All of these things, all 9,000 need to be represented, and it needs to have a balance. And it's that balance that I've learned through the variety of people I've worked with, both in the Navy and GE. And in GE, believe me, it is global, and it is the widest variety of people you've ever seen in terms of their religion, in their color, where they come from. But when you have a meritocracy where what you do is what counts, it allows you to rise above that, and I think that we can do that in our government and in our communities.
And Gail, what would you say distinguishes you from your opponent? Why should people vote Gail Simmons?
Well, I absolutely believe that we can come to solutions. So his voting record of no at 45% of the time, we don't know why he voted that, and frankly, I think that it's at this point, it's not important. What's important is for people to see that voting record and say, does that reflect my interests? I actually got accused of aggressively attacking him because I put something out that shows some of the no votes, 75% of which actually were approved and signed by the governor. He is a very principled man and a very much a family person. And I admire him for that. He's got very strong religious beliefs. I'm not sure that that reconciles with the 9,000 people that he's representing. He won on 900 votes the last time. And I think that once we get in, we have to be aware that we need to balance those 9,000 interests and the interests of the state. So I'm involved in the community. He's involved in church. They're both great. This is a community-based organization, the legislature. And I think that I reflect better the variety of that organization. And there's nothing, I mean, honestly, he's got a remarkable family, a remarkable marriage. He is a like I said, he's a very principled individual. I'm not sure those principles always match with the code of the West. I will always show up. We had a forum at the Eagles. I was there. He was not there. There were three other candidates there was a total of three for three positions that did not show up. I will always show up. I will always talk with you. I publish my email. I publish my phone number. And by the way, 307-737-2679. If people have concerns or issues, I want to hear from them. And I will always respond back. So I'm out there. And I think that's the biggest thing.
All right, talking with State House District 30 candidate Gail Simmons this morning. Gail, thank you so much for taking the time here.
Absolutely, thank you.
This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Keep it tuned, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS.